don't think anybody needs to hear all that about the radio. Mind, character, personality. For those of you listening on the radio, we're in chapter 23, The Vital Function of God's Laws, section C, which is actually page, I don't know, but if you got the, page 569, middle of the page, I think, and the section is called Other Laws. The first one is the Law of Obedient Action, which says, action gives power. Entire harmony pervades the universe of God. All the heavenly beings are in constant activity, and the Lord Jesus, in his life work, has given an example for everyone. He went about doing good. God has established the law of obedient action. Silent but ceaseless, the objects of his creation do their appointed work. Ever think about that? You know, you look at the birds, you look at the animals, the squirrels, the snakes, whatever the case may be. They're doing exactly as they were created to do. But yet the most intelligent beings of creation, being you and me, don't. We deny him for some reason. We sin. We step out. That's so sad. But going on, it says, the ocean is in constant motion. The springing grass, which today is and tomorrow is cast into the oven, does its errand, clothing the fields with beauty. The leaves are stirred to motion, and yet no hand is seen to touch them. The sun, moon, stars are useful and glorious in fulfilling their mission. If we could just hear the stars like Noah and his family did before the flood. And when I say hear the stars, investigate those videos that Dr. Carl Baugh has on that Creationist Museum website in Glendale, Texas. I got it linked on my creation page on the website. Before the flood of Noah, you had the great, the great deep, of course, and then you had the firmament above, and the firmament had a lot of water in it, and we all know how sound travels in water. We've all been in swimming pools, and we know how sound goes so much further. I mean, look at how the whales communicate, and they can be miles apart. And the sounds from the stars in the sky, like the other planets whisking around other stars or suns, made music that was, I would have to think, would be almost on a subconscious level for mankind, the way they were describing it in the scientific research that they found. It's amazing how that creation, those sounds, just like the sounds that the birds make every morning, the scientists also found that the birds making their little chirping noises in the morning is not for each other. It's not part of their mating process. That's later in the day, you know, when they do that, when they're jumping around in the bushes and stuff like that. In the morning, that the music they make is for us. They found, the sound waves and stuff like that, and how it was instrumental deep inside the human being, down to the very cell level. It has properties that are a blessing on them. I mean, before the flood of Noah, this was an absolute paradise. Even though it had, you know, the weeds and the problems in tilling the soil because of what Adam and Eve did, it's still a paradise compared to today. I mean, they didn't even have mountains, with the snow on top, and they had 70-degree temperature globally with the hyperbonic chamber, the way that was set up. That's why people lived to be over 700, 800, 900 years old, which also was proven by science. But you're not going to hear a lot of that in your schools. They don't want to glorify God. So continuing, finishing this one up, it says, the ocean isn't constant. Oh, I already said that. Yeah, okay, let me go to the next one then. Universal dominion of law. To him who learns thus to interpret its teachings, all nature becomes illuminated. The world is a lesson book, like a school. Amen to that. The unity of man with nature and with God, the universal dominion of law, the results of transgression, cannot fail of impressing the mind and molding the character. And I'll read one more. To transgress nature's law is to transgress God's. A continual transgression of nature's laws is a continual transgression of the law of God. Had men always been obedient to the law of the Ten Commandments, carrying out in their lives the principles of those precepts, the curse of disease now flooding the world would not exist. Amen.
Yep, that's true. Transgression brings mental and physical suffering. Against every transgression of the laws of life, nature utters her protest. She bears abuse as long as she can, but Finally, retribution comes, and the mental as well as the physical powers suffer. Nor does the punishment fall on the transgressor alone. The effects of his indulgence are seen in his offspring, and thus the evil is passed on from generation to generation. Many complain of Providence when their friends suffer or are removed by death, but it is not in the order of God that men and women should lead lives of suffering and die prematurely, leaving their work unfinished. God would have us live out the full measure of our days with every organ in health doing its appointed work. It is unjust to charge him with a result which in many cases is due to the individual's own transgression of natural law. And of course everybody, blame God, you know. The next one is the answer to deism. Many teach that matter possesses vital power, that certain properties are imparted to matter, and it is then left to act through its own inherent energy, and that the operations of nature are conducted in harmony with fixed laws with which God himself cannot interfere. This is false science and is not sustained by the word of God. Nature is the servant of her creator. God does not annul his laws or work contrary to them, but he is continually using them as his instruments. Nature testifies of an intelligence, a presence, an active energy that works in and through her laws. There is in nature the continual working of the Father and the Son. Christ says, "My Father worketh hitherto, and I work," which is John chapter 5, verse 17. Obedience brings happiness. As they, the students, learn thus to study the lessons in all created things and in all life's experiences, show them that the same laws which govern the things of nature and the events of life are to control us, that they are given for our good, and that only in obedience to them can we find true happiness and success.
Amen. I wanted to comment on that deism thing, because I just tried looking for it on the website, and of course I can't find it. I had this one article that I found as a young Christian, stashed it for years until I actually had the website and actually threw it on there, about how when scientists in NASA are setting up satellites, you know, shooting them up into orbit, or specifically when they're sending out like Voyager and other kind of, not so much lunar landers, but these kind of instruments, kind of like satellites, but they're little rockets, but they send them off on, because there's no resistance in space. Once you shoot them out there, they're going to continue on a path. And they have to calculate well in advance where it's going to be in a specific date and time down to the minute. Otherwise, it's going to completely miss the orbit to be able to play as a slingshot to go to the next, you know, because it has to sometimes grab an orbit of, like, the moon or Venus or whatever. Not Venus. They're usually going the other direction, and like Mars or whatever, to use it as a slingshot to get some momentum to go out into a different direction, so, like turning a corner. And so, if they don't know the exact calculation, it's kind of like throwing a baseball at first baseman way over his head. It's just going to miss its mark, and it's just going to crash and burn on some asteroid, right? So, when they first started doing these calculations, they started realizing that they were messing up. They couldn't figure out why they were messing up. They kept finding out that there was a day missing in their calculations, because what they based their calculations on was the orbit of the planet around its own sun first. They use our solar system as a basis in fact so they can go forward and do all the rest of the solar systems that they were heading forward. And there was a Christian in the bunch who started bringing up scripture and says there is made mention in Scripture that God did, in fact, not only stop the sun about the space of a whole day for Joshua, but that one king that was sick, whose name escapes me that I mentioned in that one video, the Lord had the sun go back 20 degrees, which is about 20 minutes. And which proves, see, because that's what I used to think, too. I used to have this deism thought in my mind, too, when I was younger, that God created the planet and started it spinning, and then it continued on its mark and continued to do its spinning from that day forward. And then he goes about working on the moon now, and or the sun itself, or just the orbit, whatever the case may be. But the fact of the matter is, it's all relying on him at this present time. It's not something he put in motion that is going to continue on in motion on its own without his approval. It was already created, his hand's already on it and still on it to this day, which has been proven with the sun stopping in its tracks that one day and then going back 20 degrees. And then when the scientists used that calculation that Christian brought up in the bunch at NASA, they found the missing day. That's what it was called, the missing day. It's got to be on the internet somewhere. I don't know if I titled it the missing day on my website, but it's on the internet somewhere called the missing day. And when they did that, they found their calculations accurate, and then when they shot it out and got that gravitational pull off the moon, they found out they were right. There was a day missing on this planet because God made it missing, which proves if, in fact, it is like I used to think and many people used to think with the deism theory, where God created the beings with some kind of already inherent energy in them, where the planet is going to continue to spin regardless if he wants it to or not, or the sun's going to continue to burn, then how could he stop it for Joshua? Or how could he back it up without not wreaking havoc on all that is creation? Because he's involved. If he's involved, he can make that sun go back 20 degrees without making us shoot off the planet like slingshots. Because he's our God, and we're standing on what he created, and we are his creation as well. So, there's my two cents. Okay, far-reaching principles of law. In his teachings, Christ showed how far-reaching are the principles of the law spoken from Sinai. He made a living application of that law whose principles remain forever the great standard of righteousness, the standard by which all shall be judged in that great day when the judgment shall sit and the books shall be opened. And, by the way, not only will the books be opened, but we'll understand why they've got Mount Sinai right now wrapped in razor wire. They don't let anybody get near the mountain. They don't want them to see the little altars. They don't want them to see and realize that, okay, it kind of looks like it's burnt on top, but I want proof. No, you can't go up there. Because the governments of this world, the big governments, don't want absolute proof. Just like with Noah's Ark. They don't want people going up there and checking it out because everybody's going to throw their hands up in the air and go, you mean for years I've been believing this Zoroastrian faith or the Islamic faith or even the Catholic faith is all wrong? So you know it's not mankind involved. It's the principalities and the powers of the air. The devil doesn't want the people to know. And so he uses his pawns to prevent those that should know from finding out. Continuing, he came to fulfill all righteousness and as the head of all and the head of humanity to show man that he can do the same work, meeting every specification of the requirements of God. Through the measure of his grace furnished to the human agent, not one need miss heaven. We got all the evidence we need. We got all our ducks in a row, even though we didn't write this stuff down. We have what we need to get home. So she goes on to say that perfection of character is attainable by everyone who strives for it. This is made the very foundation of the new covenant of the gospel. The law of Jehovah is the tree. The gospel is the fragrant blossoms and fruit which it bears. And the last one we have here is called the highest sense of freedom. In the work of redemption, there is no compulsion. No external force is employed. Under the influence of the Spirit of God, man is left free to choose whom he will serve. In other words, God did not create robots that say, I do believe in, you know, we're free to do what we want, you know? He doesn't want to, if he wanted to create everybody to believe in him, then that's what we would have, a planet filled with robots, you know? We have free will. We have to make the choice. He loves us. He wants love in return. It's just that simple. It's just like what we would want. And going on, well, not as gods, of course, but, you know, you want your kids to love you, and you want, your kids want you to love them back. In the change that takes place when the soul surrenders to Christ, which I like to call the greatest miracle ever seen by man, because you can't explain it. I could understand him removing leprosy or boils or even death and cancers and stuff like that. But to change a mind, I mean, you can't grasp the mind. It's like air. There's nothing there. I can't grasp it. I can't figure it out, but I can see a boil. You know what I mean? I can see the boil disappear, but I can't see a mind change. I don't know how he does that, and I'm not even going to ask him how he does it. I just think it's the greatest miracle. Because I saw it happen to me. One day I was just filled with all these disgusting thoughts and desires, and the next day it was like, boy, that is disgusting, you know? It was a complete change of mind. Going on. In the change that takes place when the soul surrenders to Christ, there is the highest sense of freedom. The expulsion of sin is the act of the soul itself. True, we have no power to free ourselves from Satan's control, but when we desire to be set free from sin and in our great need cry out for a power out of and above ourselves, the powers of the soul are imbued with the divine energy of the Holy Spirit, and they obey the dictates of the will in fulfilling the will of God. And not because we are created to automatically do these things like deism would announce. It's because we choose this. We love this God that has created us, and we want to make him smile. It's just like you would want to make your daddy or your mommy smile when you were a little kid. You want them to be proud of you. That's how I look at my Heavenly Father. I want him to be proud and happy that he created me. I don't want him to be sad that he created me. And with that said, I say amen.